All right, 302. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Two more hours to go as we take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Me and Manny rolling with you till then. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. 888-808-1019. You can also hit me up on Twitter at CMACWFAN. And many of you want blood with this judge thing. I'm sorry. Yeah, the captain was pissed. I get it. But the idea that, you know, I don't know. He wasn't hit on purpose. He wasn't targeted. There was a time and place. Maybe you could have thrown at him last night, make a statement. There was one up and in. I don't know if it was a Tonkin who threw the up and in pitch. I don't think it was Nestor. Maybe it was Nestor, who had a great performance. And it's going to get lost in this. It's going to get lost in all this. It's going to get lost in all the commotion of this and Judge's injury and everything else that happened. Thankfully, Judge is fine. If you're listening right now, he got a fastball off the hands. It sounds like no fracture. It sounds like hopefully he'll be back in the lineup. I would think, if not today, on Thursday. But I don't need to throw at the Orioles. It's not a trend yet. And I want to win the game. I don't want to mess around. Why would I want to put base runners on for Cole? Why would I want to take the chance of something bad happening? They don't take it lightly because Judge got hurt. If Judge shakes it off, if Judge gets hit in the shoulder and just brushes it off and walks to first base, we're not having this discussion. He got hit in the hand. And he's pissed because his season came this close to being a disaster. To me, I'm more about intent and reason than I am ultimately the outcome of it. Like, if I felt they were throwing at Judge, I don't care if it's in his back, I don't care if it's in his hip, I don't care where it is. If I feel like they're throwing at him, well, now we got a problem. I don't feel like Gunnar Henderson needs to hit the deck to make up for what happened last night. I think Gunnar Henderson needs to put his tail between his legs and head back to Baltimore down four games in the standings. That's what I think. John in Maspeth, what's up, John? You're on the Fan.
Hey, C-Mac, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
You know, these two teams, the Yankees and Orioles, they're not going anywhere for the next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a little rivalry, you know, for a while. And I do think, you know, it was intentional. I do think Judge was hit intentional.
Oh, no,
I do think Torres was.
No,
and they
wasn't.
Even almost got Stanton. You know, and I think it's because of what Soto did on the base path and how he collided Westberg.
Jason Lockenfora covers football.
I saw his tweet.
I think that's ridiculous. Let me just say this first off. I have to admit, when the play happened a few weeks ago on the pop up and the interference, and they called Soto out, it was a terrible call, no doubt. But Soto is awkward on the base path, man. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not saying the Orioles should be pissed off, but Soto's got to. I heard a caller call up with Keith and say, "How do they call Soto out?" Because he ran into the third baseman while he's trying to make a play. Like, why? What do you mean? Why'd they call him out? Like, you can't run into the third baseman.
The thing is, too, is that Juan Soto was not doing that intentionally.
No, of course not.
He's not trying to collide with a player. And risk getting hurt, you know?
No, absolutely
we
not.
We do have to retaliate. I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm not saying on Thursday. We played them two more times this year. If one of the games is a little bit out of hand, you got to send a message. You can still send a message tomorrow by pitching
So you're telling me that in when they play them right before the All-Star break, right? At the end of in the middle of July. So they play them in a month, right? And say there's a game the Yankees are up 8-1 because I don't want to say the other way around. So let's just say the Yankees are up 8-1 and then they hit Gunnar Henderson. A month later when the game's out of hand,
Do it right on his hand.
Well, I mean, that'd be
like to hit Judge and Torres.
Well, I mean, listen, that would be if you could find a pitcher with that great of an aim, then they're in good shape. I'm sorry. What message does that send? What are the Yankees accomplishing by throwing a Gunnar Henderson in a month? I don't understand. If this becomes a regular thing, if pitching Judge inside is their plan and they don't care if they hit him, you cannot tell me. I'm sorry. I don't think this was intentional at all. He didn't get hit in the back. Like, typically, when they try and throw, and Ron Darling talks about this all the time, when you try and throw at a hitter, it typically is behind him a little bit because the tendency is to jump back away from the baseball, and that's how you hit him. They're not trying to throw at Judge. They hit him in the hand. They're trying to pitch him inside because he's the best hitter in baseball, and if you let him get his arms extended, he'll poke one over the right field fence, over in the short porch. They're not trying to hit him. Like, I'm sorry. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I'm all about hating the Orioles. You can convince me easily. Rushman has too many letters in his name. I don't like the guy. That's it. I'm all involved. It doesn't take much. It doesn't. I'm in. I don't need to manufacture just not lies. I don't believe the Orioles are trying to hit him, and I don't believe Soto had anything to do with it. But I do have to admit, like. Let's just be fair. This is me being fair because I get called a Yankee fanboy. Let's just be fair. I don't think anybody was throwing at Judge and Stanton on purpose. I think they're pitching inside, and without question, if you are going to pitch inside to Judge, you best be careful, because if you're going to hit him, we have a problem. This is once, and because it was the scare it was, because he left the game. Now we're feeling retaliation. If he just brushes it off and goes to first, nobody wants retaliation. He got hurt, so now Henderson has to go down. If this becomes a regular thing where every series, Judge is taking a ball off the arm, Judges take one off the wrist, like because they're trying to pitch inside and they don't care if they miss, now we have a problem. I'm open to it becoming a problem that needs to be retaliated. I'm open to it, and it won't take much more. But I think off of one, it doesn't have to necessarily be. Now, if they do it, I'm fine with it. If you want to make a statement off of that one thing because Judge, the captain, leader of the team, is pissed off, I'm not going to say the Yankees can't do it or shouldn't do it or I'll be pissed if they do it. Great. You want to throw and make a point? Throw and make a point. That runner better not freaking score. That's what I'll say. It better not impact winning and losing the freaking game because I'll be pissed. And if you're going to tell me, oh, it'll manifest itself down the road and the Yankees will benefit from it, okay, yeah, sure they will. Sure they will. And then the other thing is, Juan Soto needs to learn how to run the freaking bases a little bit better. There's just no way around it. He's awkward. And I know he's found himself in the weird situation where, again, there was a pop-up at first base when he was on first, and he took the long route all the way around the first baseman just to make sure he got out of the way. But he ran right into the third baseman. Like I said, I heard a call to Keith earlier as I was out in the newsroom, and the guy's like, these refs are unbelievable. How do you call interference on that play? Because the third baseman's trying to make a play, and Soto runs right into him. It's the clearest cut runner interference I've ever seen. You can't run into the field is allowed to make a play. You have to wait. That's how it works. The fielder is allowed to make a play. And I doubt very much that the Orioles took such exception to that, that they went and threw a Judge. I don't think any of that has anything to do with it. I think Judge is the best hitter in baseball. I think the Orioles are afraid to allow him to get his arms extended because it doesn't take much to hit one over the short porch. I think they're trying to pitch him inside because they think that's the best way to get him out. And I think one got slightly away, and it almost cost them 2 months. And you best be careful if you want to come into Judge. I'm on that. I'm with you. But I don't think Rushman or Henderson or anybody else need pitch inside to them. Pitch inside to them. And if they get hit, they get hit. But you think they have to throw? You think Henderson has to hit the deck? You think Henderson has to get plunked? You think Cole has to have that on his plate tomorrow? I don't. I think Cole should be focused on getting through the start healthy, making good pitches, and trying to beat the Orioles, who are now 2.5 games behind the Yankees in the standings and are pretty much locked into being the two best teams in the American League. I'm focused on this series and winning it. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, how you doing this morning, Doug?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. I'm kind of with you, but I'm not, man. You know, to get to the whole, get right down to the meat of the matter, I feel what you're saying, and you kind of came back to me a little bit with what you were saying in the last bit just right now. But because I think it was like a strategy, and I hear you with what you're saying. Cole does not need that on his mind. I'm not trying to put that on his plate. But I think they, you know, whatever it was before, it just got ratcheted up a notch. Because clearly there was a strategy that they had in mind where they were trying to go inside. And my thing is, you can't do that, then don't do that. Because it wasn't just Judge. They got Torres, and you even got a little cross-eye from Stanton because, you know, he's playing and got memories of getting hit in the head.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And even he gave them a kind of a funny stare like, yo, if you can't do it, don't do it. You're playing with people, and especially with people's season, people's careers, you can't be playing games like that. And I, to your point, I hear what you're saying. Like, I wanted it where it's ratcheted up to, like, let's just go bully them. Let's like, I would love to have a big output of runs tomorrow, like, you know, and damn near close to a shutout. I know that's dreaming and wishing, but, like, let that be the attitude. Let it ratchet it up a notch where, like, every time we see them now, we want to, you know, because I hear what you're saying, and I know it's like, you know, take the high road, win the game. Let's do what we got to do. But clearly there was a plan. And if you can't do it, like I said, because if the attitude, you said something before just now, and if the attitude is, yeah, pitch them inside and, you know, whatever happens, happens. Yo, you can't be playing like that. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree. They played four games in Baltimore. Do you remember this?
I hear you with
there
that.
There was four games in Baltimore. Like, do you remember anybody getting hit or hurt? They've played five games, two guys got hit, and both on very close pitches that they're trying to stay in on so they can have a good at-bat, and the ball hit them in the hands. I don't see a trend. Like you're saying, if you're going to pitch inside, you better not hit me. They've played five games, and four of them, it wasn't an issue. Like if this was a continuation of it happening in this Baltimore series a month ago, I'd say, okay, this is a freaking problem. This is one game.
Yeah, but it's like a few times too many within just the one game. That's my point, and that's what I'm saying.
Well, it only happened a few times. It only happened a few times, so it's a few times too many. Are you saying we have zero tolerance? That's the policy. Zero tolerance, or else we got to throw at you, and Gunnar Henderson has to go down.
Like I said, later on in the game, again with Torres, you got Stanton looking at him like, dude, you coming close to my head now. Like, they need to watch that. Clearly, if that's your strategy and that's how you're playing, then you have to be able to do that. If you can't do it, don't do it.
Totally agree. And if it happens tomorrow, now it's something. If another starting pitcher does it and, you know, Soto takes one off the forearm, now we have a continuation. This is, you know, Judge got hit by one fastball. Like, Like, you guys, we all agree on it. If you're going to come inside, you can't miss. I get it. They've played five games. This was not an issue. The first four. I don't remember it. I don't remember it being an issue. I don't remember Judge getting hit. In fact, I remember Judge making out after out after out. He had a terrible series. That's what I remember. I remember losing the series, and ultimately that's what will be remembered. I don't remember. Do you remember it? Because I don't. You know what I remember? They lost 3 out of 4. That's what I remember. I don't remember every part, every particular. I don't remember every single play. I don't remember every single out. I don't remember. I know Rodon got his ass kicked really once of only twice this year. The other one, obviously, his most recent one against the Red Sox. I remember Judge had a terrible series. Like, but you know what I remember? I remember they lost 3 out of 4. That's what I remember. And at the end of this series, when we look back in a month, we'll remember who won the series. And thankfully, we won't remember. Hopefully, Judge is right back in there. And we won't remember Judge's injury because there isn't one. This isn't about... If this is a trend, it was a trend with Tampa Bay. It was a trend. Tampa Bay was throwing inside and getting careless with it. And then when the Yankees did the same thing, their manager threatened them. Cash came out and said, we have guys who throw 98 miles an hour up and down our bullpen. Okay. And then the great CC Sabathia threw inside and cost himself money because he had an innings thing in his contract, and I forget what the, how many millions it was, but he needed like another two innings to qualify for this, you know, incentive. Jeez, struggling with a word. He needed like two more innings to hit that incentive in his contract and chose to throw at a player and got thrown out instead because that's how a great player and teammate CC Sabathia was. That was a thing. That was talked about series after series, game after game. This is one game where Judge got hit in the hand. And while I agree, it better not freaking happen again. And if Judge is this pissed off about it and the Yankees are this pissed off about it and want to do it, I'm not saying don't you dare do it. What I'm saying is that I don't think it needs to be done. I don't think I would call the Yankees soft if they don't do it, like I'm hearing. Oh, they better go do it, or this is soft. They're soft. Not soft. Go out there and win. Let the Yankees sweep the series and be called soft on the way out. I'm fine with it. Fine with it. Go sweep the series and you can have whatever perception of them you want. There's a line. I don't know if they've crossed it just because we had a scare. If Judge doesn't get hurt, we're not having this conversation. If Judge doesn't get hurt, Val doesn't make that phone call. If Judge doesn't get hurt and leave the game, we're not talking about this. If Judge takes one off the forearm, brushes it off, goes to first base, we're not having this discussion. I'm open to it, and if the Yankees want to do it, fine. And if it leads to a brawl, I'll be watching. I'll be on the edge of my seat because I love it. But I don't think it has to be done. I certainly don't think the Yankees will be soft if they don't do it. And I certainly don't think Cole's a bad teammate if he doesn't do it. And I certainly don't think it means Baltimore is in the Yankees' head or tougher than the Yankees if they don't do it. I'm looking to win the series. I'm looking to hopefully win the next two games with good pitching matchups for the New York Yankees. I don't want to be giving them anything. You want to give them base runners? I don't want to give them base runners. You make it sound like you're going to retaliate and Gunnar Henderson's going to leave the game with a hand injury. Gunnar Henderson's going to get hit in the ass, brush it off, walk to first base, and hopefully not trot around the bases when Mountcastle hits a home run behind him. Like, that's what I'm concerned about. That's what I think Yankee fans should be concerned about in Gerrit Cole's first start. Not whether or not, you know, you're going to send a message to the Orioles about throwing inside when two guys got hit in one game. Sorry, I don't see it. I don't need it. Certainly wouldn't call the Yankees soft if they don't do it. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Take a call real quick here. Anthony in Staten Island. What's up, Anthony?
Chris, thank you for taking my call. You were born December 19th?
I certainly was. Look at you. How do you know my birthday? What, you looking me up?
No, I heard
was that you outside my window
born,
last night,
I was born December 19th myself in 1954.
So, yeah, I'm 29 years younger than you.
Anyway, Chris, you mentioned about the Yankees. You're 100% correct. It wasn't intentional tonight. You go beat them on the field. And as far as Sabathia, the Yankees ended up compensating him that year $500,000, even though he was inning short.
Yeah, oh, that's what it was. How much was it?
$500,000.
Yeah, $500,000 with an inning short. Yeah, and he gave up $5,000 to hit the Rays. Yeah, I love that.
Chris, also about Willie Mays.
Yes.
Willie Mays, in my opinion, nobody was better all around than Willie Mays in the history of the game. You know, he has the all-time record for putouts, 7,095, which means you have to play 20 seasons.
Well, that's what it means, yes.
Average 355 a year to beat him by five. But the main thing about Willie Mays, the only player in the history of the game to 50 home runs in 10 seasons apart. Okay, now his base running ability, you were a baseball player, so was I. You know how it works. Man on second base, a ground ball to third, look to run it back to second, you throw the ball to first.
Right.
Willie Mays would jockey back and forth, and by the time the third baseman threw the ball to the first baseman, a percentage of the time, the batter would be safe, but the outcome would be Willie Mays would be standing on third base.
Yeah.
So watch a baseball game. And remember what I'm saying to you. See how many times you see it happen during a baseball game.
Yeah, I mean, not often. So, I mean, if he had that ability, we all know what a great base runner he was. We all know what a great outfielder he was. We all know what a great hitter he was. for power and average. I mean, he's one of the handful. He's on the Mount Rushmore of greatest players to ever play baseball. I don't think there's any doubt. When you take in longevity into it, especially all the years he played, there's no doubt about it. He lost 2 years, a year and a half to being drafted, going to the military, much like Ted Williams. I mean, can you imagine what their careers would be if that didn't happen? I mean, but yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. He's just one of the greats. And we said goodbye to one of the great baseball players to ever live today. As Willie Mays passed away, if you haven't heard, Willie Mays passed away yesterday at the age of 93. And just one of the great ball players of all time, and someone who marks the times, you know, and someone who really was part of the greatest era of baseball in this city and maybe ever in this country. Those, you know, mid and late 1950s into the early 1960s, when you had three of the great players, three of the great teams, all in this city. Just great. And obviously, I never had the opportunity to see him play. I've seen all the highlights. Unfortunately, not many people have. I mean, it's getting to be where it's a long time ago now. It's a long time ago. But great life. God bless him. Maybe we all live the life that Willie Mays lived. And to make it to 93, we saw him last year at Citi Field when they retired his number at Citi Field. The number 24 will never be worn again by a New York Met. He seemed in great spirits and great health that day. So, I mean, he lived a really wonderful, wonderful life. And God bless him and rest in peace, Willie Mays. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. About halfway through our three-hour little quick ride as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Talking baseball. Yankees, Mets, Willie Mays. Yankees, apparently, I can tell I'm on the minority of this. Everyone wants to hit an Oriole. Come and call me. I don't see it that way. And then, of course, the Mets 7 in a row. And Francisco Alvarez with the biggest hit of the game, taking advantage of a disastrous play at second base. They did everything you want a team to do. The other team makes a mistake, you make them pay for it. You fall behind, you battle back. You jump out to early leads. They've done it all over the course of the 7 games, and they feel like a completely different team. They've jumped about 4 teams in the standings. They are a half a game out of the playoffs right now.
And it's all thanks to Grimace.
Yes, it is. It's all thanks to Grimace, I suppose. Whatever. I don't care. It's so stupid. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy who rains on parades. You want to have fun with Grimace? Have fun with Grimace. I just know that it's dumb. Just know that while you're doing it, it's stupid. Have fun with it, by all means. I have fun with all kinds of stupid things. All kinds. You'd be surprised what I find entertaining.
That'll be a drop later.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how easy it is for me to have fun. All I need is myself. And I can find a way to have a good time. So if you want to include Grimace in that, I wouldn't. But by all means, whatever works for you. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll take your phone calls when we get back right here on The Fan. Rushman has too many letters in his name. I don't like the guy. All right, there we go. 3:32. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. We also saw the first, after all, we're done talking about the whether or not the Yankees should hit Baltimore. I'm sure we'll still get into that conversation. 888-808-1019. But we saw Ben Rice, his first appearance, his first hit. His first roll call, where apparently he gave them the eating a bowl of rice. Very clever.
What type of rice do you think Rice indulges in?
I don't know. He ate it so fast that I would think it had to be like sticky or clumpy. Otherwise, you know, you start shoveling it in like that, you got rice all over the place. So sticky rice. Let's go with rice. Let's go with sticky rice. I mean, my favorite kind of rice is pork fried rice. Get better than that.
And pork fried rice is the most American rice that you can have.
Of course. Of course. And I'm also a big fan of rice pudding. So you can have rice pudding.
We call that arroz con leche from where I'm from.
I actually thought it's funny. I was thinking for his home run would be arroz con homer. But especially because I heard them talking about it today with Evan. They were talking about how this is the first time a new Yankee was coming up, no John Sterling. and what could you possibly do for the home run call? And they were coming up with, you know, rhyming all the stuff with rice. You know, rice is nice.
Rice, rice, baby.
Rice, rice, baby. That's not bad. That's a good one.
I did title one of the Keats last hours with that rice,
oh, you
rice,
did?
Baby. Yeah. It just came up to me. I was like, I need a rice pun. Rice, yeah. Rice, baby. Thank you, Vanilla.
Rice, rice, baby isn't bad. Yeah, they came up. I'm trying to think of the other ones. And then he Mirage did one with Ben, too. Ben there, done that. I don't know. Wasn't terrible, I guess. I don't know.
Uncle Ben Rice?
Yeah, I mean, well, Uncle Ben Rice, it's all... You could probably figure out something in there. But we'll never know.
Let's just workshop it here at the 3:30 hour. Overnight.
I mean, why not? Why not? But unfortunately, we'll never know. As John Sterling is retired. But Rice makes his first appearance as a New York Yankee, gets a base hit. And I'll tell you the truth. I hope John... I won't say. I was sitting next to Joel Sherman in the press box. And I have to admit, I don't know if you saw his first at-bat. But go back and watch Ben Rice's first at-bat. The first two swings he takes are bad. They're very... Like, everyone in the press box was like, like, that didn't look like a major league swing to me. Like, that was like, oof. He swung at two breaking balls, and they looked slow. He almost looked indecisive. Like, it was just, go back and watch Ben's first at-bat and watch his first two swings on breaking balls. Bad. Then it got better. Then he hits a fastball, up around the shoulder and hits it into right field. I thought for a second Stanton was going to get thrown out trying to go to second because he came back. He thought the first baseman might make the catch. And I thought, geez, this first kid's hit's going to get robbed by Stanton running the bases and the outfield is going to get a force at second base. But ultimately, I was really surprised that they brought up Ben Rice. I talked about it yesterday. It's the right move. It's absolutely what they should do. He's been killing it in the minor leagues. He's earned this test. And without Rizzo for a couple of months, they have a month now to the trade deadline. A month. Let's see what this kid could do. And maybe you don't have to go out and trade for a first baseman. Maybe you have an answer here. Like, it made no sense to do the Peraza thing and LeMahieu at first. And you saw in this game, LeMahieu's going to go play first late in the game for defense. And early on in the game, he strayed very far to his right to get a ground ball that probably would have been right at Gleyber Torres. And I think it was so far right that Nestor Cortes just assumed the second baseman was going to make the play and didn't even take a step towards first base to cover first base. So he's going to have there's going to be growing pains with a rookie first baseman who's kind of a converted catcher. And that's the other aspect. I tweeted this too. Another element of Ben Rice is that he is a catcher. And now there's three catchers on the roster, which opens up the possibility to pinch hit for Trevino if there's a tough lefty with Wells in the sixth or seventh inning, where prior you don't want to waste that bullet. And God forbid something happens, you don't have a catcher. You know, you're very hesitant to pinch hit for your catcher or bring in another catcher because anything could happen and then you're without one. So to have a third catcher at any moment, it could be the fifth inning, bases loaded. They bring in a tough lefty with two outs to face Wells. You can counteract that because you have an emergency catcher in Rice. So I think having a third catcher on this roster, especially with what we saw in the Boston series with Trevino's inability to throw runners out, I mean, late in the games, theoretically, or whatever the case may be, you could put in Wells to play catcher if you feel like he's a little bit better at throwing guys out and try and limit the run game. And then you have an emergency catcher in case something happens to Wells in Rice. So that opens up possibilities for the Yankees. You bring up a young kid who deserves it, inject a little bit of youth into this team, get a look at this kid who, and I've talked about this forever, ever since the owner came out and talked about it's not plausible to keep the payroll where the payroll is right now. And obviously with the enormous free agency of Juan Soto looming, how do they justify saying that? How do they keep the payroll low while going out and paying Juan Soto $500-600 million? Well, you do it by Ben Rice at first base. You do it with Peraza at second. You do it with Volpe at shortstop, who, again, was brilliant in this game defensively. Brilliant. He had a great year defensively last year. He won the Gold Glove. I'll be totally honest with you. I think it's tonight. For whatever reason, I'm being a fair Yankee fan tonight. I don't know if he was the best defensive shortstop in the league last year. I don't know. I watched him every day. He didn't look like a Gold Glove caliber defensive shortstop to me. He looked like a pretty good one. For a rookie, he looked like a great one with the promise of getting better. I don't know if I viewed him, watching him daily, as a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. Damn good, certainly in the conversation, but I was surprised that he won the Gold Glove. This year, he's taken it to another level. He is excellent defensively. Excellent. And he made a couple of good plays. He makes a diving stop, turns around, throws it. Gleyber Torres made very good plays, too. Gleyber is capable. That's what's so frustrating about him, because he's so capable of making great plays. He moves well. He has great range. He's got a good arm. He can throw it from different angles like Robinson Cano could. Like, he's got all the tools to be a brilliant defensive second baseman. And instead, he just... while he makes the great play from here and, you know, time to time, he also just makes these blunders all the time. But back to my main point, as I got off on a little bit of a defensive tangent there, how do you pay for Juan Soto and pay for Judge and pay for Cole and pay for Rodon and pay for Juan Soto? How do you do all that? You have a shortstop in Volpe who you don't have to pay for a couple of years. You have a second baseman in Peraza you don't have to pay for a couple of years. You have a center fielder in Jason Dominguez, you don't have to pay for a couple of years. You have a left fielder in Spencer Jones, you don't have to pay for a couple of years. You have a first baseman in Ben Rice, you don't have to pay for a couple of years. You got a catcher in Austin Wells, you don't have to pay for a couple of years. That's how you do it. And so if you're going to bring up Ben Rice, give him a month to see what he is. If he doesn't cut the mustard, if he isn't up to snuff, then you attack the trade deadline. But I was surprised. I thought they'd go Peraza. I didn't think they would bring this kid up and put him in the mix, especially in a Baltimore series. And yet, they did it. And it speaks to the urgency and the way they're handling things differently this year. And I went into a whole rant last night about how bringing up Cole for this start later today speaks to that. But now we found out Petit was injured, so I think that's what led to it. I think if Petit doesn't get injured and doesn't have to go on the IL, they probably don't start Cole. Because I was surprised they did that too. So they've made, you know, surprising moves. And I'm really, you know, impressed. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the series. And I'm looking forward to hopefully, you know, taking one here. And getting, you know, winning a series and not going crazy about getting revenge. I'm the revenge is a dish best served cold. And whatever that means, I'm using it as in victory. Victories are cold. But I get, people are all sending me quotes from the postgame. Judge was quoted in the postgame. They like to throw in. If they're throwing in, especially up and in, but they can't control the pitches, they have to know that that won't be tolerated. That's an angry Judge who almost saw his season collapse. And I get it. And if he's that pissed about it, then maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you do have to throw it. But I'm not looking at it. I want to win. And I still don't think it's one pitch up. They played four games. This wasn't an issue. This wasn't an issue. This is a pitch that got away. It happens 10 times. I sitting in the press box, I didn't think for a second it was intentional. Not for a second. Nor did I even consider retaliation. The only thing that made me think that there could be an issue is how close Judge got to the pitcher. How close Judge got to Suarez as he was like walking off the pain in his hand. After that, I'm just concerned about Judge being healthy. The last thing I was concerned about is whether or not the Yankees were going to retaliate. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury? Maury!
I'm on your side. Can you hear me?
Oh, tonight is your night, bro. Yeah, I guess that's our fault. The pot was off for a second.
Yeah, something's going on with the phones. I don't know what's happening. All I can say is this. I don't think it was intentional. Thank God he's not hurt. Let's lick our wounds. Let's take him out on the field and worry about this later in the season. I just need to continue to stay focused and win some games. You're right. That pitching performance will be forgotten. He pitched great yesterday against that team. Great.
Yeah. No, he was great against a very good lineup. And he dominated. It was easy. There was a stretch that it felt, you know, it was one of those games that was just going along. Nestor Cortez was just on cruise control.
Yep. And Christopher, are the Panthers in trouble?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, do you think?
Yes, I do. I mean, listen, Connor McDavid just has four consecutive four-point games or whatever.
He's on fire.
He's on fire. They've won two, you know. Listen, did you think the Rangers were in trouble when Carolina won two games and forced the game six? Like, that's after being up 3-0. The Panthers, listen, you know how explosive the Oilers can be, and it feels like the goalie's not playing as well right now. So, I mean, they still have to lose another two games, and I think the Panthers overall, I still would put my money on the Panthers winning this series. But absolutely, there is a chance that we will see a team blow a 3-0 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals.
You know, we didn't give up when the Germans bumped Pearl Harbor, so I
That's
do think
true.
They'll be all right. I do think they're going to win. And other than that, Christopher, great show. I enjoy it. No, you belonged in that press box yesterday. You could be the future of the Yankees.
I could be the future of the New York Yankees? That'd be something.
Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That would be tremendous. I would settle for I'm settling right now for the chicken stir fry and the guacamole they had.
Hey, you know what? If you can hit 400 at your age, yeah. I'll take it.
That's absolutely right. No, listen. It was fun, and it was a great crowd, a late arriving crowd. Because man, oh man, the wave of people outside trying to get in—it's crazy. They got to figure out something because I'm telling you, the first inning, the ballpark seemed empty, and I know it because everyone was outside. It took me forever to get in, even with a press pass. Just walking around Yankee Stadium takes you forever to just walk through the mass of people to get to the area to get in through the press. Entrance, but yeah, it was a great win. It really was. It was a good win. Now that he's healthy, now that everything's fine with Judge, and we'll see what they do. I'm open to retaliation, but I just don't think it's anything of significance here. I got to be honest with you. I don't think it matters. What happens if they throw it at Gunnar Henderson? What happens? Do you think they're going to stop? Like, this is the same thing I had with the Rangers and Rempe. By the way, the Rangers, Goodrow has been waived. He will not be back next year. Had a great postseason, not so much in the regular season. It's a money thing, I would think. They just got to make some room. But had five goals in the playoffs and was really one of their main scoring threats. But he got waived anyway. But it was the Rempe conversation, like, oh, you got to go out there and you got to make sure the Panthers understand. Okay. And now it's the same thing. Oh, you got to make sure they understand it's unacceptable. Okay. Now, if Gunnar Henderson gets hurt when you, if that's your intention to hurt Gunnar Henderson, which I don't think it is, even the people who want him thrown at. But if your intention is to hurt Gunnar Henderson, okay, yeah, that'll impact the Orioles. Are you telling me, like, really, if they've deemed it, like, they're going to play these games against the Yankees, right? It's a division rival. They're battling for the playoffs. It's the two best teams in the American League. They're going to have another two series after this. Do you think that if Gunnar Henderson gets hit in the back, if Gunnar Henderson gets hit in the shoulder, if Gunnar Henderson gets hit in the ass or the ribs, that they're going to change the style of pitching to attack Judge and try and get him out? Do you think they're going to say, oh, that's it? I know we think pitching him inside is the best way to get him out. I guess we got to just give him fastballs out over the plate because, I mean, we can't hit him anymore. I don't see it. They're going to still try and pitch him inside because they need to get him out. Two pitches got away. One to him and one to Torres. I'm not saying it's okay. I agree with the Yankees' assessment. If you're going to pitch inside, you better make sure you do it right. And if you don't, we're going to retaliate. But the idea, the added line of if you don't, you're soft. If you don't send the message now, the Orioles will, you know, run all over you. You can't allow this. Okay, they won the game. Who had the better night last night, the Orioles or the Yankees? Was it the Orioles because Judge got sent to the hospital? George in Delray Beach, Florida. What's up, George?
Yeah, Chris, big fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
I'm happily retired in Florida, but I'm one of those people who was a kid in New York in the 1950s. And just an observation on the Mays-Mantle-Snyder thing. Snyder really was a distant third.
Yes.
In that conversation.
No doubt. At least he
Mays,
should have been.
And I saw the three of them multiple times. Mays, probably the better fielder. But if you wanted one of those guys up in the bottom of the 10th inning, it would be Mantle. He was simply, as a hitter, more intimidating. People forget, Mays was only about 5'11". He was not that big a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when Mantle came up, and particularly because of the switch hitting, that's the guy you want up in the clutch.
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think both were very clutch and both were very imposing, and I'm sure nobody wanted to face Willie Mays either. But listen, I'm biased, right? When we talk about Willie Mays, unfortunately, or, you know, unfortunately for me, I suppose, I never saw him play. I see it through my father's eyes, right? Like many things that took place back then, I see it through my father's eyes. That's what I grew up with. That's what I heard. I became a Yankee fan because of my father. I became a Beatles fan because of my father, which, by the way, how I missed this to wish Paul McCartney a happy birthday yesterday, I don't know. I had 5 hours. I couldn't remember to send birthday wishes to the greatest musician of all time. I just, I'm kicking myself over it. Happy belated birthday, Paulie. But, like, I see it through my father's eyes. So when you ask me, and I look back at the numbers, and, you know, and also, let's be honest, although he's not my father, working with Francesa all those years, and he grew up a huge Mickey Mantle fan, hearing stories about, you know, from him, the perspective I get is from my father, a little bit from Mike, listening to others talk about it. Yeah, I mean, I would say that in their primes, if you had to face one, I would think, especially Mickey being a switch hitter, you know, Mantle was the more fearsome hitter in his prime, but his prime lasted a fraction of Willie Mays' prime. I mean, that's the difference. Willie Mays was able to be a weapon on the base paths and in the outfield much longer than Mantle. He was able to continually be in, you know, a home run hit threat and a batting threat when Mantle had long faded. I mean, that's the difference. The difference is Willie Mays, and there's something to be said, as much as we might be, and I am a little bit of the greatness of it all, and I lean towards more to the ultimate, the greatness, even if it is for a shorter time. I mean, Sandy Koufax, I don't think anybody says that Nolan Ryan is better than Sandy Koufax because he was still throwing 98 miles an hour when he was 42. Sandy Koufax is the greatest pitcher of all time in many estimation, even though his career was rather short, because in those short years, you couldn't touch him. In those short years, he was a force. And if we're going to have the conversation on the day, unfortunately, or the day after now, that Willie Mays passed away, and it harkens us back to those conversations that everyone had, especially guys like that who are now retired out to Florida, who as a kid as they were trading baseball cards and putting them in their, you know, in the spokes of their bicycle wheels and all the stories I heard for forever. I had a first edition Silver Surfer in the back of my closet that my mother threw out when she was mad at me. You hear those stories from everybody who's like 70 years old now. They had this, they had the Mickey Mantle rookie card, they had this comic book, it would be worth so much money now. My mother threw it out. I used to put Mickey Mantle cards on my bicycle spokes. But as you were having those arguments about Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays, Wiki, you combine them two, sometimes they would do that. But in my opinion, in their prime, the best that they were, I think Mickey Mantle was probably a more fearsome hitter. But the prime went for much longer. And I wasn't there to really make a compelling argument for either way. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Talking a lot of Yankees is because they take game one of a series against the Orioles. A lot of tension between the two teams. But then, of course, there's also the Mets. I opened with the Mets in the open as well, as they won 7 in a row. Take care of the Texas Rangers, the now fading Rangers and the rising Mets, 7-6 after falling behind 6-2, and they battle back and they take advantage of a terrible play by Seager, and they just keep coming at you. And right now, whether it's Pete Alonso, who's kind of getting hot, Lindor, who's 0-for-5 in this game, but we know what he's done since moving to the leadoff spot and has been a real, you know, driving force for this team, and that was a great move by this manager to move him to the leadoff spot. You got Nimmo, who's getting hot with another home run. JD Martinez, again, hitless in this game, but has been so important for this team. Alonso coming through with the double down the line to give them the lead. Vientos with another home run. And then Francisco Alvarez, who's going to be the talking point here because of the record with him and how they don't lose when he's in the lineup. The ERA and the staff and how much better they pitch when he's behind the plate. Now he limits the run game. And then his knack for the big hit, which obviously he had the big hit in this game last night, the two-run double that tied the game at six and brought the Mets all the way back from a what was a perceived loss. I mean, how different does this Met team feel? 6-2 2 weeks ago felt like a 100-2. There was no way they were coming back from 6-2. No way. On the road? No way.
I mean, it was like sex. Let's be honest. It was amazing.
It was like sex. It was amazing watching last night. It was like doing your civic duty. And being
You'd be surprised how easy it is for me to have fun.
All I need is myself. That's it. Because I'm really good at knock-knock jokes. What else? You weirdos. But, I mean, the Mets right now feel completely different. And they have won seven in a row. The offense absolutely exploding. No lead is safe against this Met team right now. And the other element is Diaz, who allows the first runner on, gets the double play, and if he can get back to what he was 2 years ago, and you look at the standings in this, if you're going to tell me this offense is going to wake up, now look, I don't expect him to stay on this hot streak, right? It wasn't too long ago where they were playing terrible baseball and the offense was just putrid, but it does feel like they're waking up here. If they could just, right now, well, everyone's hot, they're going to win a lot of games. That's what's happened here in this seven-game winning streak. But if they can just now, with Alvarez lengthening the lineup, JD Martinez really getting his season underway here, and Lindor being a force since moving to the top of the order, if they can just figure out a way to get, you know, a normal where a couple guys are hot, a couple guys are cold, whatever the case may be, but continue their offensive ways, and if you can have Diaz being a closer even close to what he was 2 years ago, and you look at this league right now in this wild card, tell me they're not better than the 36 and 37 Arizona Diamondbacks. Tell me they're not better than the San Francisco Giants at 36 and 38. Tell me they're not better than the 500 St. Louis Cardinals. Hell, tell me they're not right there with the Atlanta Braves who can't score runs anymore. Who's better than the New York Mets right now in the National League? Honestly, who's better? Milwaukee? Philadelphia? All right, I'll give you Philadelphia. Philadelphia's proven to be better. The Dodgers? Sure. They're going to be without Betts for a while, but still, as Ohtani hit his 20th home run last night, and they've scored some runs of late, and they still have, you know, Smith is one of the best hitting catchers in the league, and they're dynamic, and Freddie Freeman is Freddie Freeman. So, okay.
If we want to be, you know, speaking technically, the longest active winning streak in the National League, that is the second longest active winning streak in the league, is currently held by the Los Angeles Dodgers. They've won three in a row, which is peanuts compared to what the Mets have been doing.
Right. No, I mean, listen, this Met team right now has already jumped the Cubs, the Pirates, the Reds, the Padres in 2 days. This is going to get real, and it's going to get real, real fast. And I told you how important this stretch was until the All-Star break. They continue to play winnable games from now until the week off in the middle of June, July. If they can find themselves in a position, it's going to be very interesting how this GM handles it. Because I think he wants to trade everybody. That's what I think his desire is. But the Mets are about to put him in a tricky position and put this team in a position where you can't trade everybody. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. 1 hour left in our three-hour show, all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Mick Monagle here with you. We'll take a quick break, get Marco at the top of the hour, come back with more of your phone calls leading you until 5 o'clock at the warm-up show. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan.